Let us turn again to the Epistle to the Ephesians, to chapter 3, and we will read from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 8. And to me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Well, we were considering Paul as the one who is demonstrating such wonderful humility, speaking of himself as less than the least of all saints. And no doubt that was referring back, as we noticed, to his past history, when he had persecuted the Church of Christ. He was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But he says, I obtain mercy. And what a wonderful thing that is. And if we're going to go on to consider the unsearchable riches of Christ, though we touched on that already, the unfathomable riches of Christ. You see, one aspect of that is that such great sinners can be saved. Now, fundamentally, it is the same salvation that is needed by one who would call himself the chief of sinners, and one who, in the eyes of others at any rate, he would think of him as far behind such a person in sin. But you see, what is needed for salvation is something that has depth, something that goes down very far, something that can wash all sin away, whatever degree of sin it is, and certainly there are degrees of sin. But the important matter is this: sin. Not what degree of sin, but sin. That we are sinners, and that we need to be forgiven, and that salvation that will do for us it can only be one that has depths. The depths, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Yes. And Paul is referring to it elsewhere in terms of depths. He speaks to the Romans in these terms: oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And then he wants there to be glory forever and ever to the one through whom there is these depths of riches. Oh, the depths, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments. And his judgments there refer to the what we might call the pronouncements that God has made. Not judgments as we might say that judgment came against Sodom and Gomorrah, a punishment. And that, of course, when we use the word judgment there, or the Bible uses the word judgment in such context, it's that God punishes because he has judged this to be right and wise and necessary. But you see, God passes judgment all the time, and he records his judgments in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. He caused holy men of his to record these things in that way as he carried them on by the Holy Ghost. And when Paul says this, and it is surely a deep saying, there's riches of grace in it, that it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see, that's a judgment. God has passed that judgment. Paul couldn't write down these words without them being put in his mind by the Holy Spirit. It's a judgment. It's passing judgment. God is saying this is what he judges concerning the salvation that he has provided. You see, God is right in all things, and whatever God says is right, it's according to his wisdom. But you see, he has judged. He has come to a conclusion, if we can use the language of men to describe it. And when we think of these things, there's a depth that we cannot penetrate into. Oh, the depths. That's the mind of Paul. That's the mind of God. That these are depths. The provision of salvation for lost, ruined sinners, there's depths there. Depths of mercy, depths of grace. And God has judged this, that the way of salvation as he has provided it is suitable for sinners like we are. Now think of that. And in particular, if you are thinking about your soul and thinking about the needs of your soul, if you are thinking of your need of salvation, well, one thing that God has revealed, this is his mind on the matter. This is the judgment that he has passed, that the salvation that is in Christ Jesus is suited to the needs of every one of us. Now, what depths are there? That the salvation that was suitable for Saul of Tarsus was suitable for Lydia, and it was suitable for Peter, and it was suitable for John, and it was suitable for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, each of them with her different characters and different particular needs, no doubt. And it is suited to you, whether you will take it or not. Even if you turn your back on it, this salvation is suited to you as a sinner. Oh, then, will you not hear this call? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And oh, will you not say that there are depths there? Depths. Such wonderful depths. Beyond what is possible for us to find out. Now, again, you know, I was going to refer to that properly. Well, more. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It was the next verse. For who hath known the mind of God? But who hath been his counselor? Who hath known the mind of God? Because there are depths there which we cannot penetrate. You see, the thing is this. We are to seek to get some understanding of what God has seen right to reveal to us in this lost world. Now, there are some things that are easier to understand. There are some things that are spoken of more often in the preaching. So they're more familiar to us. We should have some understanding of these things. There are other things in the Bible, chapters or individual verses, and people might look at them and say, I cannot understand this. So much of the book of Ezekiel, or of Revelation, let us say, and they're very difficult to understand, and in a very obvious way you would say there, oh, the depths. The depths of what God has said, seen fit to reveal there. But then, there are other things. And, you see, they are plainer. We hear them explained more of, and referred to, and applied. Lord, what we need is this, that they would be applied to our souls by the Holy Spirit. Are you asking for that yourself? That the Lord would apply to your soul the truths that are in the Word of God, although there's depths, you see. And it has been said something like this, that in an individual verse there is there what a child might swim in, and what an elephant it wouldn't feel the bottom in. Well, it's an illustration. Like such a familiar verse as that, that it is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. How many have had that blessed to their salvation? I'm quite sure. And as little children, so to speak, children in grace, immature believers, they could swim in the glorious truth that is revealed. And then there may be others, experienced students of the Word of God. And what have you got? Oh, they find that there are depths there. They have understood the verse in a degree. But oh, how far is the ocean stretches out from. I'm reminded of the Zimbabwean woman, perhaps back in the 30s. She had never seen the sea, and she had to go to Durban to make some arrangement in connection with a pension she was receiving because of her son. He must have been killed in government service, something like that. It doesn't matter too much as far as her words are concerned. But she was asked when she came home what was the most wonderful thing she had seen. And her answer was this: it was the sea. It was ever coming to me. It was like the mercy of God. All was coming to me. Now, I think there might have been a little more to it, but that's all I can remember just now. But you see, there was someone getting some sense of the mercy of God. And well did she know, I'm sure, that there were depths beyond her. Now, what we have then is, this is the grace that was given to Paul, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God, of Christ. The truth about Christ, the unsearchable, unfathomable riches. Now, if we go back to chapter 1 at verse 7, Paul is there speaking in these terms of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, the riches, the unfathomable riches of his grace. And what did that include? redemption through his blood, through his death. Oh, well, there's depths there. And yet, if we could get some little glimpse by faith of what is on the surface, one might say, wherever there are depths in the sea, there's always water on the surface. And that's where we're to begin, with what's on the surface, even although it's described as riches of grace. Yes, redemption through the death of Christ. Sinners delivered by the payment of a price, and what a price! There's depths there. The depths of the eternal Son of God who became man. It's just beyond us. How far beyond us. And yet, you see, we're to be seeking to get a little. To get as much as we can. And when we get a little, what are we to do? Well, there should be the exercise of faith, though that's perhaps implicit in getting a little. Not just getting a little knowledge, but getting a little spiritual insight, receiving this by faith. Now, going beyond that, there's to be worship. From a sense of the depths and a sense of the glory that you would find, perhaps you could say, even in the shallows. Even on the surface. Now there's something there to be received by faith. And having received it and having seen a little, if that's true of us, having seen a little of the glory of the provision, the redemption, Christ paying the necessary price for the salvation of sinners. And what's that price? Oh, it's his own death, the shedding of his own blood, and all the sufferings, all the punishment he endured because of what divine justice demands, what's altogether beyond human activity, human devising. Yes, there's depths there. And the depths of the love of God in giving Christ and all that is bound up with that. The depths of love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love, you see. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And therefore, you see, we are to follow the apostle on in these terms to understand the greatness of the love that was involved in Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. Now, when Paul speaks of the exceeding riches of Christ's grace in chapter 2, again at verse 7, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, how does he justify that statement? He refers to this. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of yourselves, it's grace. It's divine favor to the undeserving. Oh, the wonders of redeeming grace. Yes, and not just the provision, there's infinite depths there. that has not been applied to individual guilty sinners by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in a sinful heart, and the depths there. Yes, oh, what depths. What depths. If we could. Well, we'll not get to the depths, though everything is relative. But you might think of someone who preaches a sermon in a particular way and shows a considerable understanding of the truths that he has handled. You might say that was a deep sermon. Well, many a deep sermon has been preached, and many a deep sermon has been preserved in writing. That has been printed. But you see, oh, it's for us to get something. Now, Paul is speaking in these terms. The grace that was given to him to preach these unsearchable riches, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, this salvation was to be for the whole world. Yes. That he would preach not only in Jerusalem, but in all parts that he was able to reach. And not only preach to Jews, the people of God after the flesh, but preach to Gentiles also. Those who were far off, who were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But you see, he was pondering the grace that was given to him, that he might be the particular preacher to go out to preach to the Gentiles. And to make all men see, this is verse 9, what is the fellowship of the mystery? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That there would be fellowship among Jews and Gentiles in relation to the mystery of Christ. Now, God willing, at some later time, we'll come back to that. But what I want to focus a little on just now is this thought, to make all men see. This mystery which had been hid from the beginning of the world. Now, one matter here is this. If we're going to see, we need light. Now, if we were to be here, and there was no electricity, and there were no lights in the street, and the sun was long since down, we wouldn't be able to see anything. In a time of dark, well, in a time of spiritual darkness, no one can see anything. No one can see even the surface of these spiritual riches. No one can see what the Lord has provided for needy sinners. No one can see it. You see, there needs to be light. And if all men were to see, and by that, by the all men, he means sinners everywhere, Gentiles as well as Jews. If all are to see something of the glorious revelation that God has given, then there must be light. And there are two things there. There must be the light that comes from heaven. The light that comes from heaven. That's by the Holy Spirit. But first, there must be the light of the world, the Word, the preaching of the gospel. Now, you see, there were many poor sinners in Laodicea. And the church seemed to be in a very backslidden condition, very likely. A great deal of that was the number that didn't have grace at all, and yet were professing to have grace, but without being altogether able to understand how many there were of the people of God there, or how many there were who were not the people of God. You see, if they were to get a blessing, they must have the revelation of God, the judgments of God, in the sense we were speaking of them, brought to their attention. And you see, Christ, through the Apostle John, sent a letter to the church there. There was a message, there was light. But if sinners were to get good from that, or if the Lord's people were to get good, it must be through the truth being applied. Christ might send a letter to the church in Laodicea, but if they were to see whatever doctrine, and if they were to see Christ himself as the Savior of sinners, if they were to see him by faith, there must be light shone into their souls. There must be illumination. The enlightening of the soul in connection with the Word. Yes. And when a sinner has light shone into his heart so that he can see the truths about Christ and salvation through him, then, you see, the sinner sees something. There's light coming in. Well, here is the Word, which again, I'm sure, has been blessed to many a sinner. First, the words of warning. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. How did the light fail to get into the soul? Thou art blind. That's it. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What's the answer? I counsel thee to buy of me. Oh, what kind of transaction is this? It's free grace we have here. It's the sinner coming to buy without money and without price, to take the salvation freely. That's it. I counsel thee. And that's the message of the Lord to each of us this eve. May light come with it. May the Holy Spirit apply it to our souls. I counsel thee. And it's the Savior that's speaking. To buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Anoint thine eyes. What's the eyes? Oh, well, we'll just say it's what the Holy Spirit applies. When the Holy Spirit works in the soul so that the light can enter in to the darkened understanding, the darkened will, the darkened affections. Oh, what depths are there What glory is here. How we should worship. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let